Praise God. We are His people. We are His church. And we have life because He had given us life. Amen? Praise God. I didn't really talk with the worship team what I'm going to speak today. But during the message, I hope you'll realize that the whole service almost was preparing for this part that I'm going to speak. And the title of my message today would be, You Belong Inside. You Belong Inside. I remember growing up and wanting to run outside. We had a farm. And when the evening was coming and it was getting dark outside, my mom would open the door or the window and she would yell, Pavel, time to come to dinner or time to come inside. It's time to go to bed. And the reason why she was doing that, because I belonged there. I was not a stranger to her. I was not somebody that was unknown to her. But because she loved me so much, and because I was her child, I had the right to be inside the house. Even though it was a privilege for me. Often when I would hurt my mom, and would get in arguments. You know how teenagers are sometimes? They think they know everything. And they would tell you that we live longer than you and we already been through what you've been through. And you think that it's not so. You know the best. And sometimes talking with my dad and him reminding me that I have hurt his princess, of course I had to go bow down my head and ask forgiveness if I wanted everything to be well between me and my dad. But an interesting thought was when I came, where I would come to my mom and I say, Mom, forgive me, I was wrong. And she would cry and she would say, Pavel, I already forgive you. It's almost like the forgiveness from my side was not even, or asking forgiveness was not even needed. It's because it was a relationship, I was her son. And I belonged in that family, I belonged in that home. I needed to ask forgiveness for the relationship not to be awkward. But her forgiveness towards me was not contingent upon if I ask her forgiveness or not. She was bound to me because she's my mom. There was a time in history in the Old Testament that people did not belong in the Holy of Holies. Even though they were the nation that God has chosen, because of the backslidden and the sin nature that we inherited, and were born in, we as people were to stand off from the holy place of the temple where God was dwelling. There were only certain people, priests, that would come to that place and they would bring sacrifice for the people that were around them. And if there was a moment that those priests did not get their lives together and did not pray enough and did not get enough of bloodshed from the animals for their sin and for the people, they could have been killed. There were situations where even the rope was tied to them while they were going to the Holy of Holies. In case God shocks them and they die, so other people going to save them won't die, but they would just pull them by the rope out of there. It was a serious situation. Even though that nation was chosen, because of some mistakes that people did and because of the sinful fall that happened with Adam and Eve, the beginning of the mankind's fall, the access to the place where we always belonged was only open for certain people. And we can read in the Old Testament, and I was going to read this, but I'm not going to read. It's when Solomon actually built a temple. And when they did everything according to the word of God, the temple was full of gold and full of mighty, beautiful stones. When they prepared, everything was supposed to be done how the book said it was supposed to be done. Every little thing was measured. Everything was cut in perfect shape because it belonged to be part of the temple. And the Bible says that they brought the Ark of the Covenant into that Holy of Holies. And the Bible says that the presence of God came so mightily upon that place that all of a sudden, these people, the priests, the Levites, all these people that were there serving, they could not serve anymore. They could not stand in the presence of God because it was so thick. In different words, if we were to have a service today in the presence of God, when it comes, there is no reason for me to sit and preach to you. There is no reason for the worship team to sing songs for us. There is no reason for us to gather together and to have a program. There is no reason for us to come and know every little detail of how the church should look like. Because when the presence of God comes and ministers to people, words of human is not needed anymore. Words and edification of mankind, it's not needed there anymore. Because God Almighty is dealing with people directly. And there was a time that this ministry that they were doing, it had to stop. They couldn't minister anymore. They just had to be silent and let God deal with the people. And so often, when I think and I'm reminded of the Old Testament and the stories that we read, and the stories that we're being taught, and the stories that we teach to our kids, it's almost we as parents or we as the Church of Jesus Christ so often do this as a story that happened sometime in history. It almost comes as there is no life in it anymore. It almost comes across that it's like a story that was for that time. And we don't realize sometimes that the same spirit lives within inside of us. We can read stories and know that even the animals could not come to the mountain of where God's glory was coming down. There was a line when people could not cross that line because they would be killed because God's holiness was so strong upon that mountain. And so often we think that God changed, but He never changed. He never changed. He's always the same. But what the difference is, all the expectations that God had from us was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, His beloved Son. And now He gave us the right to come boldly into His presence so we can obtain mercy in the time of need. God never changed. He's still God. He's still Almighty. He's still love and kindness. He's still holy God. He cannot stand sin. He's still the same. But because we could never obtain that mercy in our own strength, because we can never obtain that right in our own strength to come into the Holy of Holies, He said, I'm gonna send my Son so He can take the sin upon Himself. So you can have the access to come into my presence. So you can have the right to come into my presence. Not because you deserve it, not because I deserved it, but because we belong there. We belong there. And the Bible says in Matthew 27:51, it says that when He was on that cross, and when the redemption was taking place, when He cried out with a loud voice and released His spirit, it says that the curtain, the veil in the Holy of Holies was torn into two pieces. In different words, later on in the Bible, Apostle Paul is talking about that now we have the access to come into that very thing where before, if you would have went there, you would have been killed. But because Jesus Christ was killed for you and for me, now we can live. But it doesn't change that His power is, it's a little bit of a less now. He's not as almighty. He's not as holy. He's not as powerful that He was. He cannot move and He was moving when Solomon built the temple. He cannot move. No. He can do all those things still. The power of God is still as strong as it was in Solomon's temple. The Holy Spirit is as powerful that it was when Jesus was walking on this earth. And He said that I will give you this Holy Spirit and you can do more things than I could. You have the power, the almighty power of God itself living in me and you. And all these things He had given us Because he took the punishment for me and for you. So we can come boldly into that place. Can you imagine if we would have lived in the Old Testament? Can you imagine our lives? Sin, repent. Bunch of animals, bunch of sheep would be slaughtered. I think those people that are for the animal rights, they would have so much issues. But it was so in the Old Testament. But God, for you, he saw me in you. He saw the struggles. He saw the battles that we would face. And he prepared a sacrifice for me and for you. So we don't have to do that. But the righteous shall live by faith and faith alone in him. Praise God. When I think sometimes of the church, of Summit Community Church, having the opportunity sometimes to visit some other churches, and how we operate or how we do things, for some reason I begin to think, do we really, really operate how sometimes the Bible talks? And it's not that we're doing wrong, this is not the point. The point is, do we allow the Holy Spirit to interrupt a little bit of our schedule? And I'm not talking about that we're going to come and shout and jump and do all crazy stuff that some Christian people will come and be like, these people are nuts. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about our transformed life. The evidence when God is moving in our life, it's freedom. It's changed life. And people see that and they want that. Even when we come and talk with our neighbors, with our friends that are not Christian, maybe we just talk with them and they see something different in our lives. It's the evidence when God is doing something in our hearts, in our lives. Sometimes we're so used to do things that it's almost like we have a check. Holy Spirit, now we allow you to move in this service. And something goes, oh, no, now no, stop. Now I have to do this because I lose control over it. Or maybe we can say, God, let your presence come. Because without you, we're nothing. Without you, we become another corporation. Without you, we just become another entity that we just gather people and we just talk with them. But there is no change in life. Because when I look in the Word of God, the Church of Jesus Christ is not mine. It's not Brother Nick's. It's not Pastor Carter. It's not David Wilkerson. It's not ours. It belongs to Jesus Christ. I remember a relative of mine, years ago, he visited our house. He was from Georgia, Atlanta, and he had a church. He's a cousin of my dad, and he was saying, my church this, my church that. And my dad came to him and said, let me see your hands. And he looked at his, I see no holes in them. He said, it's not your church, it's the Church of Jesus Christ. And when we understand that, we will be willing to let some things go. And say, God, it's your church. Help me to be inclined of what you're doing. Help me to be willing and open to do what your Spirit is doing according to the Bible. So many people, they claim they have revelations how to run churches, but it's totally whacked because it's not according to the Bible. I'm not talking about that. All the revelations that we have and everything that we do has to line up with the Word of God. Because the Spirit of the Lord cannot contradict its Word, but it's fulfilling the Word. And so often, because of the hurt sometimes that is going on in churches, in leadership, it's because of pride. It's because sometimes we take things a little personal. We might take things a little bit home. And it becomes not about the people, not about how to build a church, not about how to do this in humility. But it becomes how to run a show, how I know, and this is it. I'm coming, it's something that God is teaching me. I'm coming to realization more and more. God, less of me, more of you. I can't do this. I'm a young green guy that doesn't know probably how to even do things in life. Sometimes when we go to a soccer game, we sit in the pews and we scream at the players and we scream so hard that we can lose our voices telling them what to do. But when we do play the game, we don't even know how to pass the ball correctly. And sometimes we find this in the Church of Jesus Christ. We can critic each other. We can see each other's faults. We can know how to fix things. But when you're there to fix it, we become speechless. You know why? Because we cannot fix people. The only person that can fix people and change people, transform people, is the person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. Only God can do it. I can pray. I can talk. I can counsel. I can support. But I can't do it in my own strength, no matter how much I try. It has to be God. And when we think of that, that God, this is your church. And people belong inside of the church. I think a lot of things will change in our life, how we operate and how we do things. A lot of things will change how do we communicate with our brothers, with our sisters. We'll have to learn that, you know what? As is important to preach the gospel, it's as is important to be an usher. As is important to be at the pulpit, just as is important to vacuum these floors and prepare when God's people come. When we have that kind of attitude, everything will change. And God will move you on in whatever He has for you. Whatever He has for you. When I was doing construction here for the, 3-4 years, and doing landscape construction, mowing the lawns, and doing all kinds of things, and I was screaming and kicking because I thought I'm a big shot. I thought that I'm Pavel, and I have the anointing of God, and God has called me to be a missionary, and God has called me to preach the gospel, and all these things are too little for me, too small for me. I have to fly. And God had to break that in me. Even though the motives were correct, I was praying. I felt God had called me to ministry. I was doing ministry in Mexico, traveling where I had the chance to travel and doing these things. But it was such a level of doing in my own strength, achieving things because it looks cool. It looks right. I'm in front, not in the back. God had to break that in me. My wife knows the best. The times where I was screaming at home was so mad. What is going on in my life? I thought this and this and this is supposed to be my life. And it came a day that I got called to the office when the construction site was coming to an end. And I'm thinking, well, something else. If not, you know, at least I can go and make money. What is the point of this kind of life? I can do business. I can do the same thing elsewhere and be wealthy. And this was a temptation in my heart. And I'm thinking, finally, they're calling me to the office. So I can do something more cooler, more prestige in our own words. And I get called and they offer me, can I be the maintenance director? I was like, are you kidding me? Out of all things, maintenance director? Cutting the lawn, putting some flowers. And in maintenance, you have to understand, it's same old every week. Nothing is new. The pipe broke, you gotta fix the pipe. The lawn needs to get mowed, you gotta go mow the lawn. And it's the same thing. But God was working something in my heart. Till I said, God, whatever what I do, if I don't do it as unto you, it's pointless. It's not about the position that you have and I can have. But it's about how we do it. What kind of heart do we do it with? And understanding that He is the head of the church. He cares more for the church than me and you. He loves you more than I do. And this is the truth. And He wants well for you more than all of us put together. Because it's His church, it's His bride. And God began to form a different understanding of what it is to be plugged in ministry and to have a servant heart. It doesn't matter what you're asked. Yes, if my hand can do something good, do it because God is with you, the Bible says. It doesn't say if your hand can do something optional, that what you choose. If you see something that needs to be done, do it. God is with you. Do it with the right heart. And God will lead you. God will bless you. Because ultimately, He's the boss. He's in charge. But so often, because we run into things that we take personal, we can get hurt. The Church of Jesus Christ can get divided on smallest things that don't even matter. And we take it so personal that we take it more even than what probably God would take it. And that allows us to have hurt, pain, hatred, unforgiveness towards our fellow brothers and sisters. Because we think that we are to protect, we are to have this right, and if you're wrong, then you're out of here. And we become those people that control things instead of letting God deal with things. And ultimately, we end up being hurt people. We end up being people in a wheelchair, even though we're walking. We end up being people that have oxygen next to us, even though we're breathing. We become people operating in flesh, even though we can preach that we are to be operating in the spirit. And it's all because we take a little bit too far the things that sometimes we do instead of allowing God to do them. And instead of understanding, you know what, I belong here. I belong here. Because when hurt come, division come, all of a sudden, the tendency is to leave the church, to leave the leadership, to leave our families because we don't agree on the smallest, stupidest thing. And we want to prove some point, but ultimately kills us. It kills us. Unforgiveness is like cancer that is working from outside in and ultimately brings death. And when that happens, we can be here, but we're not. We can hear, but it doesn't have effect. We can tell others, but there is no power in it. Because somehow, in one way or another, we become the outsiders. Instead of understanding, you know what, we all belong here. We all belong here. And the only right why we belong here, to be together as a church of Jesus Christ, as a family of Christ, is because he tore the veil and gave us the right to come into his presence boldly. And it's not obtained in my own strength, but given to us, imputed to us, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Praise God. There's a story that I would like to read. It's written in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gates of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who are entering the temple. Verse 3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask for the alms. And fixing his eyes on him, with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gates of the temple. And they were filled with wonders and amazement, and that had happened to him to this point." It's a unique story. We probably heard the story a lot of times. And I'm not here to say that I have something new to say from the story. But yesterday when I was praying and thinking, what would the Lord have for us today? And this story took a little bit different turn, the way God began to speak to me through the story. And I believe there's people here in this place that need to hear this. The Bible said that it was a man lamed and he was next to the temple. He was not inside, even though maybe he had the right. He belonged inside. But he was not inside. He was at the gate. And this man was lame. He was hurting. This man, I'm imagining, he was probably sitting down with his head down because it took a little bit of effort for him, when we read the story, to be able to raise up his eyes to look at John and Peter. So I'm assuming all hope is gone. And I'm just sitting down in pain, in hurt. Maybe every Sunday when people go to church, to this temple, to worship God, I see them, but they don't care about me here. They don't see me here. They don't pay attention to me. And that just adds up another layer of pain. Maybe this man was able to say, you know what? I'm close enough to the temple. I'm close enough to the church. I can hear the sermons. I can not only hear them, but I can tell you I was spoken. I can hear the songs. I can hear the prayers. But they don't affect me. For me, it's just noise coming from the temple. But I've seen people walking. I've seen people forsake me. I've seen people go day after day maybe to this temple to bring worship and prayers to God. And yet I'm here in need. And what they're praying for, I am the answer to that prayer right here. And they're missing me out. He did not have ability to walk. He didn't have the ability that every one of us maybe have today. Maybe there was hurt in his heart that why other people can joke and laugh and have fun and walk and jump and I can't. And maybe he took it a little bit closer to the heart. And sometimes in the physical eyes we can say, you know what, we can help him. We can give him crunches. Hey, crunches, they're all dated now. Let's bring him a little bit of that machine that you sit down and that wheelchair that moves electrically. We can have all these things, all these solutions to bring to this man. But the power of God is missing. And we're saying how we can do 5 points, 10 points, how we can help you. In different words, Peter and John is saying, gold and silver I don't have. Meaning, what man can achieve to be the answer? We don't have it. We don't possess that. We're not about that. We don't have something that we can achieve and give it to you so it can be a momentarily fixed just for a few days or for a few months. We don't hold that kind of stuff. This kind of stuff is not the answer for you. But what we do have is the power of God. But what we do have, it's something that can change your life from inside out. What we do have, we can offer you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And all of a sudden, the chains broke down what was holding him. The bones that were feeble became strong. And he began to walk, he began to jump, and he began to praise God. Why? Because the power of God was there. The same power that was in the temple when Solomon was praying. The same power that was in the Old Testament that the glory of God was coming down and people could not stand in the presence of God. The same power was in the apostles when they said, in the name of Jesus, walk. What is holding me and you back today? When we come and worship the Lord together and my hands are not being lifted up. I'm not saying this in condemnation. It's okay to keep your hands down and still worshiping God. I'm not talking about that. But sometimes something is holding us down. What is it that holds me down? What is it that holds you down? Is it bitterness? Is it unforgiveness? Is it pain that somebody created in your life? Is it misconception of who God is? Is the hurt that somebody brought in your life? And somehow you find yourself at the gates of the temple, not inside of the temple. But I can tell you that you belong inside. I can tell you
that you belong in the Holy of Holies. And I'm not talking about the building, because you know where God dwells now? Not in this building that was created by man. Not in this building that was created by man's strength. But He lives within me and you. He lives in me and you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we wonder, what is going on? Why people are not doing things? How come they're praying there, they're singing there, and I'm at the gate, but there is no change? Brothers and sisters, let the revival begin with me. Let the revival begin with me to say, God, help me not to look at others, but help me to look at you. When Peter and John came to this man, they were walking by, and they said, look at us. In different words, I pray, yesterday even I got convicted. God, help my life to be a living light. Help my life to be an example. So when I say something to people, I can say, look at my life. There's the evidence of the power of God living in me. And not just that I can say, oh, He lives in me and that's it and I live like the devil. No, but I can truly say, I live how God has called me to live according to the Word of God. And I can't do it in my own strength, but the power of the Holy Spirit that's in me and gives me the strength to do what is right, to live the right way. What is holding me and you back? It's time to get up from the gate in the name of Jesus and come to the Holy of Holies. In different words, to come where people gather together. The Bible says, don't forsake the assemblies of the holy people. Don't forsake the church. Don't think that all of a sudden you're smarter, you're stronger, you can do this in your own strength. You got upset at somebody, you got hurt by somebody, a leader said something, a member of the church said something to you. All of a sudden you become isolated from everybody and you stay home because God can hear me here. Yes, He can. But He also says, don't forsake the fellowship when the people gather together. Don't become closed in at the gate because you'll become cynical. You'll look at people who goes to church, who goes to the temple, and you'll watch what's wrong and what's right in everybody, and you'll have the reason why to go or not to go. Sometimes when I witness to people, non-Christians I'm talking about, some people are hurt, and in their mind there's a bunch of hypocrites in church. But you know what? Sometimes we have to tell them, it's okay, we have room for one more. Because our life, in our own strength, we cannot do it. We can't do it. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to live within us, and the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, the same power that rises us up from the dead, the same power that was, and the same anointing, the same presence of the Lord that was in the Old Testament, the same power and anointing is in the New Testament. And more than that, the same power lives within me and you. And that gives me fire in me. When I come to church, when I sing, when I come to prayer, I'm not like, oh my goodness, when this thing is going to be over. But it challenges me. God, you live in me. And it's not that I have to be moved by emotions. It's okay if some people are more quiet or not. But what I'm saying is sometimes the evidence why we're not worshiping, the evidence why we're not praying, the evidence why we're not walking with the Lord, because something is holding us back. And it could be unforgiveness, bitterness, confusion, hurt, because we take personal things and forget that this is the church of Jesus Christ. And us by doing this, the Bible said that sad spirit dries up the bones. You're not going to have an effect on the person that you're mad at. The only effect you're going to have on your own self, bring yourself down. But when we say, God, we're yours, we're your people, and something is holding me back, something is not allowing me to get plugged in a church again, something is not allowing me to come and be again part of the fellowship of the church of Jesus Christ. I find myself better at the gates. I find myself better at the door, so nobody really sees me. My head is down. I've got hurt in my life so much that I can hear. I'm okay just hearing, just telling others what I've heard from what is going on in the church. I can hear the prayers that are going on. I'm okay over here. I don't want to be plugged in. I don't want to be part of the church. And you're looking for solutions. You're looking for gold. You're looking for silver to make you happy, to be able to sustain your emptiness. But we don't have that. This church don't have that. At least this church cannot offer silver, gold, solution, 10 points, 50 points. We don't have it. We don't know how to do that. But one thing what I know, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. In the name of Jesus, from whatever where you're at, get up and walk. In the name of Jesus, you belong here, not at the gates. You belong inside. You belong in the fellowship of the Church of Jesus Christ. We love you. We care for you. You belong here. In the name of Jesus, leave the hurt behind. In the name of Jesus, forgive others that hurt you. In the name of Jesus, cover with mercy. In the name of Jesus, move on. Because ultimately you'll bring death in your life if you hold on to those things and you're sitting at the gates instead of sitting with the people of God. In the name of Jesus, I beg you today to leave those places that hold you down and stops the growth of spiritual growth in your life. Leave those things behind. Forgive, cover. And see the bigger picture that is the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not my church, it's not Brother Nick, it's not the pastor church. Leave those things behind. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. God loves you. He wants to heal you. And the evidence of that is, the Bible says that this guy, I come from a conservative background. Let me tell you that. You move a little bit to the left or to the right, you're shot. But the evidence of freedom, it says that he began to leap and jump and dance. And he came into the place where the people were. And people began to see a changed life. Why? Because God Almighty touched him. The power of God came. Silver and gold could not fix his issue. But the almighty power of Jesus Christ came down and changed the situation. And when God comes and changes something, you're changed forever. There will be evidence, you'll come, you'll have a smile on your face. You'll have a joy in your heart. You'll have a smile in your life. And you'll raise your hands and you'll shout and you'll say, God, we love you. Even though we come from a conservative neighborhood. But there will be life in us. There will be life in us. The last scripture that I want to read, it's written in Jeremiah. Chapter 8, verses 21 and 22 says, for the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonished has taken hold of me. Verse 22 says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? The Israelites, they were going to their own path. They were going through rebellion. They were going through things in their life. And they lost hope. They were full of hurt. They were full of pain. They were full of confusion. And actually Gilead, if we study the scripture, it was not too far from them. But they chose to just sit back. They chose to just not do anything about it. And here, Jeremiah is saying, the prophet is saying, is there no cure for you? Is there no cure for you? The Church of Jesus Christ, is there no healing for you? In different words, there is healing for you offered. And it's offered on the cross. God Himself can come and heal you. He's the doctor. He's the answer to our cry. He's the physician in our life. He's the provider. He's the healer. He's the Almighty God. He's our Father. He's our friend. Is there no physician for you? In your circumstances, in my circumstances that I face, is there no answer? There is. maybe we left the place in choosing to stay at the gate, looking for 5 points, 10 points, satisfaction that can come for a minute, but mercy can cover us forever. This is it. I have nothing else really, but I would like to pray together.